Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Though the wicked may prosper for a season, Scripture makes it clear that their end is not something that anybody would want. One day, the Lord will break the strength of the wicked, but He will uphold the arms of the upright. Jesus wants us to pray for our attackers and abusers, because if they do not repent, their eternity will be endless misery. Be compassionate toward those that are lost. Please open your Bible to Psalm 37, verse 12, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study.
The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. Wow, isn't that true? Gnashing the teeth, in those days, a person would express malice towards someone by gnashing or grinding their teeth at a person. Remember what happened after Stephen gave to the religious leaders a history lesson about how they rejected Moses and how they rejected all of these holy men that God sent, and then they rejected Christ? What it says, they got angry. They gnashed at him with their teeth. And that happens today. It happens every single day. The wicked are always plotting against the just and gnashing upon them with their teeth. But it says in verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. He sees his day is coming. And that day is coming. That's going to be the ultimate time when justice is measured out. The wheels of justice don't always... we don't see it always happening here in this life, but it will. The Lord shall laugh at him. It's like in Psalm 2, when the kings of the earth shake their fist against God and against his anointed, the Bible says, and the Lord shall laugh. That's not a sinister laugh. That's a laugh of dismay. Are you kidding me? Do you really think that I am threatened because you're mad at me? Incredible. The wicked have drawn out the sword, verse 14, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. That word slay there in verse 14 in the Hebrew means to butcher like an animal. And that's the world that we live in. There are these people that are just wicked. They come after the poor, the needy, the upright. And in context, those who are seeking to follow the Lord, you know that there's people that hate us just because we belong to Jesus Christ. They hate us. They simply hate us. You can be having a conversation with somebody at a grocery store or whatever and just talking about the weather or talking about sports, and then you're always waiting for that, you know, that opportunity to say something about Jesus, you know. And so, you know, you quietly pray, Lord, let somebody sneeze. And then, and they'll say, the person you're talking to will go, God bless you. We'll go, well, now that we're on the topic. And you just launch into this segue, and you just begin to tell people about the Lord. And boy, how things can turn. They really, really turn. Jesus said, don't be surprised when the world hates you because of me or persecutes you because of me. Don't be surprised. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you seek to live godly in Christ Jesus in this life, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. People are going to gnash their teeth at you. People are going to ridicule you. They're going to mock you. You have to have a soft heart and thick skin. It is inevitable. They'll try to butcher you. They'll try to butcher you with their words, with their actions. But notice, verse 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, God says there will be a time when the weapons that they hurl at the poor or the needy or the upright, it's going to backfire. And that's why the Lord says, for you and I, when we are being maligned, when we are being attacked, or something, you know, I don't need, I'm preaching to the choir. You know what it's like. He says, vengeance is mine. My command to you is love them, pray for them, do good to them. Let me deal with them. And so there you are. It's summertime or it's wintertime. And your next door neighbor is grilling, or he has on the grill half of a cow. And there you are with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, verse 16 of chapter 37 is for you, beloved. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Sometimes you just, oh, that smells good. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there. Wow, you go, wow, that is really good. And here's Zweigel's hot dogs. Warren Wiersbe says, just as Jesus met a great need with a few loaves and fish, so the Lord can make a little go a long way. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he didn't promise us a guarantee of abundance of prosperity. He didn't. But when we recognize that God is our provider, it's possible to be faithful and hardworking and have comparatively little. But yet, it's so fulfilling. It's so wonderful. Proverbs 15 says in verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15, 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox on your neighbor's grill. So there you are. Spinach souffle. A spinach omelet. Squash soup. And so maybe to beef it up a little bit, you dunk some nice Italian bread in there. And, you know, not even move. You pray. I hope he enjoys that stalled ox. Isn't it true, though, a little that a righteous man has? When you're in love with Christ and there's love in your home, the little bit that you have, that is so invaluable. That is so invaluable. I've walked into homes that look like palaces, and it's like so tense. So tense. You don't know if you can sit down and go, can I put a cup on here? And yet when you go into a home where the love of Christ is, it's just like home. Home. You take off your shoes in the winter, you can like throw them up again. You know, it's just home. It's this kingdom satisfaction. Kingdom satisfaction. But verse 17, let's move on. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. That's you tonight. He's holding you up. If he wasn't holding you up, you wouldn't be here. You know that, right? Now, we pray, we read, we want to do the things that are right in the sight of the Lord, but he's the one holding you up, holding me up tonight. He holds us up. Praise God for that. The Lord knows the days of the upright. He knows the kind of day you had today. He knows the kind of day you were going to have before you knew the kind of day you were going to have. That's why it says, commit your ways to me. Okay, Lord, I commit this day to you. I have no, I know what I have on my appointment calendar, but you are so good with surprises. He knows the days of the upright. He knows your days. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yeah. Psalm 37, verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. You know, there may be some challenging times ahead for you and me. There's all of these threats of all the, you know, food shortages and things like that, but God says, even in a famine, I'm going to care for you. It may not be surf and turf, but I'm going to care for you. I'm going to care for you. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows, but doesn't pay back. The righteous show mercy and gives. God has a heart for the poor. You know that, right? He has a heart for the needy. That is the Father's heart. And Proverbs 19:17, there's many more like this. He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. The righteous show mercy and give. God tells us that he will look upon what is done in love to our neighbors as being done to him. The Lord Jesus will say to the righteous on his right hand, who has supplied the wants of the needy, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. One of the ways that we show the love of Christ is when we reach out to those that are poor, those that are needy, in the name of the Lord. And just, no, you don't need fanfare. The left hand not letting the right hand know what you're doing. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. A literal translation of that would sound like this. It is from Yahweh that a person's steps are established. What a wonderful thing to pray. Lord, order my steps in your way. Order my steps. And the Bible says, as we're walking in his way, ordered by him, his ways, we delight in his way. But sometimes in this journey, we slip up and fall. Ever happen to any of you? Missteps, fall into a pit. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I'm so thankful for that. Not only can God keep us from stumbling and falling, he's able to restore us when we do stumble and fall. Verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old. I used to read that years ago and think, I wonder what that's going to be like. Now I know what he's talking about. I have been young. Believe it or not, I have been young. And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I found out in one of my study books that this passage is used in Jewish liturgy at the end of meals when they say grace. So they say grace, and then they'll say, I've been young and I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Isn't that sweet? And here we are tonight, right? God has cared for us, hasn't he? He's cared for us. While David had never seen the righteous forsaken, Hebrews or Habakkuk 3:17 through 19 tells us that even if we fall into poverty, God will be right there with us. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the herd, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Give that to the chief singer on a stringed instrument, and let's sing. Habakkuk. Empty cupboards, empty bank account, no more Social Security, everything's gone. But I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Notice that the righteous give. And in verse 26, the righteous are merciful and lend. His seed is blessed. You see, Once you're born again, God begins to show you that everything that you have comes from Him. And no longer do you see yourself as being an owner, but as a steward. And the righteous never see their money as their own. And therefore, a person, even, it's amazing, even the majority of the church, the churches, financially, the majority of the churches are able to do what they do because common people, not millionaires, not professional people, thank God for them, but it's just like common people that just don't make a whole lot of money. But they're usually the ones that are the most generous. You see, because we've been recipients of God's grace and abundance, and you love to give, don't you? You just love to give. You just love to bless people. You just love to give somebody something. You just take it. That's just like Jesus. For God so loved the world that He thought about giving His only begotten Son. No. God loves us, the cheerful giver. It's worship. Lord, this is You. And it's so wonderful to bless someone and see they're blessed and make the connection between them being blessed with your God and your Savior. He is ever merciful and lends, and His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Now, real quickly here, in verse 28, the Hebrew word for judgment is a word that means to treat people equitably. Not, it means don't have one standard for people that you like and another standard for people that you don't like. Don't have one standard for your, like, just Italians or your Germans or something like that. You know, no, it means to have a real care for other people. No matter the color of their skin, no matter their nationality, whether they be poor, immigrants, widows, orphans, it's caring for others. That's one of the ways that we express a love towards our neighbor. The parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gave, there it is, caring for others. Caring for others. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. That's where God's word needs to be hidden. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his law is in the light of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord, and in the light, he meditates therein day and night, hiding God's word in our heart. Lord, how important that is. The wicked watches the righteous, oh boy, and they seek to slay him, and they let you know, We saw you. We saw you going into the movie theater with your wife. Yes? Did you know we were watching Pinocchio? El Judge? You're always going to have people that are going to watch you. I think you call them Pharisees. How many times do you find people just watching Jesus? We're going to get him this time. We're going to catch him. That's just life on planet Earth, especially if you have let it out of the bag. I'm a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Another time, notice, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power. Boy, we see that, don't we? And spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And once again, these verses tell us that living for this life and living for yourself inevitably comes to nothing. You see, because we only see one part of the picture. Oftentimes, like at the beginning of the psalm, it appears to us that people that are not godly, they seem to have success. They seem to get the perks. They seem to get the promotions. And yet we never see, we don't see the big picture. Asaph in Psalm 81 said, he was envious at the wicked, the prosperous, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And that's something that you cannot buy. It doesn't come in a prescription form. It's not liquid. It's a peace from God. It's a peace that passes understanding. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous, your salvation, my salvation, is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. What a wonderful promise that is. When you and I are in a time of trouble, God says he will be our strength. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. You know, when the Bible says the Lord will help me, I kind of chuckle. I mean, I'm glad he helps me. But it's kind of like when I'm doing something with my grandsons and they say, Papa, can we help you? And I'm thinking, oh boy. I mean, I'm not that good to begin with when I get a tool in my hand. And next to them, I'm the fix-it guy on XXI or something like that. Can we help you? And then they're helping me go, how we do? I go, oh, it's worse than before. I created more work. And when God says, I'll be your helper, some people have this mentality of Jesus that we have to abolish this. You don't invite Jesus into, think of this. He's the one that created the whole universe. He spoke the whole universe into existence. He's got all power. He's got all wisdom. He's got everything. He has all authority. And some people actually think, I'm going to invite you into my life to be my assistant. Are you kidding me? No, I need you to guide me. I need you to help me. I need you to rule me. We need a savior, not an assistant. And he is our strength. He is our salvation. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them. Notice, because they trust in him. Trusting him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with 67% of your heart and leave the other 23 to you. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Commit your way unto the Lord. Your thoughts shall be established. Delight in him. Be in awe of him. Commit your ways to him. Rest in him. Lay off the TV, especially if you scream at it. It's not doing you any good. Get your eyes off of your neighbor. Get your eyes off of things that you ought not to be getting your eyes on. Just get the noise. Get rid of the noise and listen to the voice of the Lord. I love Jonathan Edwards, and he said here in verse 40, he that is in Christ Jesus is in a safe refuge from everything that might disturb him. Jesus is a sure foundation for our happiness. Jesus is the rock of our salvation that can never be moved. Jesus is the fountain of living water that can never be exhausted. Thank God for that. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys. Unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.